believe that, give him a clap offering of praise today. Hallelujah. I feel a stirring in the atmosphere. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name. Just give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. You know, children, oh, just praise him some more. I tell you, I can't. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just magnify the Lord a little while longer today. Hallelujah. He's been teaching us already this morning from the very onset. If I didn't preach anything else, we're being taught to come near to God, to worship him in spirit and in truth, to cast our burdens, to roll them over on the Lord. And all we need to do for that to happen is to magnify the Lord. Can you say amen? In the mouth of babes, Jesus said, children that have pure motive, pure heart, praise is perfected. Thank God for the African children's choir that praise him from the heart with great joy today. Hallelujah. And praise him the way we need to praise him. The Lord needs to be magnified today. Amen. The Lord needs to be lifted up above every other situation. And if we'll do that, he's going to lift you up before you leave here today. Mighty one.
Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. In you. There's such a love, a salvation. Love, salvation. Come to me, why do you?
Be to God. Hallelujah. The Lord be magnified today. You may be seated for a few moments. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 6 and verse 9. Just one verse of scripture. They asked Jesus a question. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Many of us have been praying all our life, and children are honest, brutally honest sometimes. They just speak what's in their heart without worrying about the repercussions. And one little boy prayed, and maybe you can relate to this. I know there have been times in my life that I've related to this because, you know, he's about 7 years old, and he'd been praying for a lot of things. He's been taught in Sunday school to pray. His mom and daddy teach him to say his prayers at night. And they kind of, you know, were ready to tuck him in. He got down by his bed, and they're still tucking him in. And he, you know, he's praying, and they listen in on his prayer. And he's fussing. He's fussing in his prayer. He said, Lord, I've been praying for Aunt Mildred to find a husband. For months, and she hasn't found one yet. I've been praying for Uncle Tom to get a job, and he hasn't found one yet. I've been praying for Daddy's back, and it's still hurting him. I've been praying for Mom's feet, but they're still hurting her. Lord, I'm tired of praying for this family and not getting any results. It's pretty honest. If you pray and the answer doesn't immediately come or come within a reasonable, as we think, time frame, we get impatient and we get discouraged and we're in danger of giving up on prayer, which is equal to giving up on God. Make no mistake about it. When you give up on prayer, you're giving up on Him. Because if you're not giving up on Him, you will never give up on prayer. Can you say amen? So you got to equate the two properly. You can't say, oh, I'm trusting God, but I really don't pray much because I don't get results. Well, you know, you do get results. You get one of three answers every time you pray. Yes, no, or probably one of the worst ones and hardest to accept. Wait, not now, in my timing. Wait, wait. Even young men shall run and run to the point of exhaustion, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and will not faint. Can you say amen? Luke 18:1, the Lord spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If it wasn't for prayer, there would be places in my life that I would feel so helpless, the situation would seem so hopeless. After I pray, I cannot remain hopeless because God listens to the prayers of His people. Can you say amen? And He moves in His timing. And the Bible said, the Bible said that we have need, and I think everyone can agree with this today. He said, after you were illuminated, after your eyes were open to your need for Christ and your lost condition, and you came to Jesus, after that occurred, it wasn't smooth sailing. How many have realized that becoming a Christian didn't mean that the road becomes smooth and everything becomes rosy? Amen. You get into a real conflict. On three levels, you get in conflict between the world and the kingdom of God. They're kingdoms that are in conflict. Amen. You get in a conflict between light and darkness. You get in a conflict. The tension is on between Satan and Jesus. There's this battle for souls and this battle to pull you back. You get in another conflict that's much more closer home, and that's between the flesh and spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And how many are still in the body here today? You're in. Well, it's not just your physical body, but in that old nature is still around, and it's called the flesh. It's spelled S-A-R-X in the Greek, and it's talking about that old nature. Amen. There's a conflict going on. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 7: when I would do good, evil presents itself. Brother Venable puts it this way: when I was unsaved, every weekend I went out looking for sin. Don't look at me so sanctimoniously. You did too, in one form or another. Can you say amen? On the weekend, I went out looking for sin. But now that I became a Christian, guess what? Sin comes looking for me. Satan is very aggressive now. He's really puts opportunities to sin before me that I didn't have when I was lost. Why? Because one of the temptations is to doubt God, to give up on God, to be discouraged to the point that I just throw in the towel and give up on God. And when I give up on God, I'm giving over to the enemy's plan to defeat God's purpose in my life, and not just my life, but in my family and the people that I'm praying for. But we get tired of praying when we don't see what we're looking for. We wait and we wait until we decide that this has been long enough. And once you commit to pray for something, you can never put a time limit on it. We need to understand what happens when we pray. In the book of Revelation, while John is being escorted through heaven, he comes before the very throne of God, and he sees golden vials full of vapors. I mean, the street is transparent gold, so these vials, you can actually see inside vapors, inside these vials. And they're right in the presence of Almighty God. And he says, what are these? And his escort says, these are the prayers of the saints. These are the prayers of the saints. Where are your prayers after you pray? Where do they go in? Where are they? Are they just out in space and God either listens or no? They are preserved in His presence. Everybody say preserved in His presence. Every prayer that you've ever prayed is preserved in His presence. That's how He looks at prayer. That's what He thinks of prayer. That's how He honors prayer. He said, these prayers are not in vain. They're not in vain. They may seem in vain because you don't see results. There are mothers who have prayed for children. We had the video not long ago. I want you to get this picture very clear in your mind. We had this video not long ago of the guy that plays the guitar on the Sensational Nightingales. And he said, all the time I was singing, 50 years of music, I didn't know Christ is my Savior. And his mama told him, she said, it's as easy to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie, son. In other words, you're dealing with a God who knows everything. You can fool all these people out here, but you can't fool God. Can you say amen? So when you got to truly get right someday with the Lord, you're not going to heaven because you sing Christian or gospel music. You're going to heaven because you trust Christ as your Savior. And what you're singing is a lie if you don't know Jesus. And you can sing it as well as tell it. And he said, but his mama passed away. But when his mama passed away, he turned to Christ. See, she had prayed for him all this time. He says it's going to take a lifetime. I pray it doesn't. I pray we'll see changes before that. But I want you to know prayer does not go unanswered or dishonored by God. Hallelujah. And God doesn't own a watch. He's dealing in eternity. We're dealing in time. We're the one that put time limits on things. God, about His coming, He said, listen, One thing you're forgetting. They said, ever since our father slept, he's never came. But he said, you're forgetting something. A day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as one day. When it comes to prayer, once we pray, we just got to continue without ceasing. Because time is passing. Let the time pass. Amen. His mama passed away, but her prayers were preserved in the presence of God. And God answered the prayer. And you know what he said? He said, I walked up to my mama's casket. I looked down at my mama and I spoke to her spirit that's with God, not to her in that casket. And he said, Mama, when that meeting comes in the air, I'm going to be at the meeting. Can you say amen? I want you to know your prayer has been answered. And did you know something? According to the scripture, she knew it in heaven. She knew it that day. She had just got to heaven and knew that her son had just got truly saved. You know why? Because the Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it wouldn't be heaven if they knew everything that was going on in this old fallen world. Can you say amen? But when a sinner gets saved, everything stops in heaven and there's a celebration. Praise God. And that mama saw her son saved even after she was dead. And that makes you want to run on, because seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, races were not run without, amen, so many people watching that race. Praise God. And we've got a lot of people that have prayed for us, interceded for us, preceded us to heaven in the bleachers saying, run on, child, run on, run on, run on. Hallelujah. Woo! Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And to me, the first words out of Jesus' mouth concerning prayer are the most vital and important. There's all kinds of principles in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Technically, it is not the Lord's Prayer. It's the pattern for all of us to pray. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, you've got to go to John 17, when he prayed for us in specific ways. Amen. But our prayer, see, Jesus could never say, forgive us our debts. He don't have none. Forgive us our trespasses. He never sinned. This is not his prayer. This is our prayer. Teach us to pray. Can you say amen? And there's all wonderful principles in it, but there's one fundamental, foundational truth that is the foundation for all prayer that's going to bring results. And I don't mean tomorrow, the next day. I mean when God chooses to move in his timing. Let me go back to Hebrews 10, verse 32. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And it talks about being made a gazing stock with other Christians who are persecuted. The pressure really gets on when you come to Christ, because now you have the potential to leading others to Jesus Christ. If you live in any kind of victory, others may want to know about your Jesus. Can you say amen? If you get it right in your heart, you will be like a city, Christ taught, set on a hill which cannot be hid. You don't have to try to witness. Can you say amen? You can't help but be a witness. You come in on Monday with joy in your heart, you're going to be a witness on the job without saying a word. People are going to wonder, what in the world? How can you be so happy on Blue Monday? How can you have courage and strength and hope in these kind of days and times? How can you do that? And you can let them know about Jesus and the change he can make, not only eternally, but right now in your heart, in your life. But the Bible said you need something to weather that storm until God comes through. You need something. And the Bible said, but you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Can you say amen? You need what? My standing prayer. Lord, give me patience and hurry. Can you say, man, I need it bad? So we know that we need it. We ask God to develop it in us. And guess what develops patience? There's one thing that develops patience. The Bible said tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, if you hold on to hope, God is going to come through. You will not be left high and dry, but you need something to help you to hold on. I'm thinking of James Cleveland right now. Lord, help me to hold out. I mean, that's what we need, isn't it? No matter what we're facing, what we're going through, what we're believing for, Lord, help me to hold out. Until my change comes. Can you say amen? Help me to hold out. Because if we don't give up, God is never going to fail. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know God is faithful. I'm the one that gives up. I'm the one that gives in. I'm the one that's impatient. Wait upon the Lord. And you will what? Renew your strength. By the way, this tells us something about waiting. It's not like taking a number and going and sitting somewhere. This is not that kind of wait. The word wait in the Hebrew tongue means to bind together by twisting. Everybody say to bind together by twisting. So waiting on the Lord means just getting wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't have the answer today, but I've got Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got Jesus, and he's with me until the answer comes. Someone said, God may not start your car. We don't know about snowbanks down here, but if your car won't start in a snowbank, he may not start it when you pray. He may or he may not. But one thing he will do, he will sit with you until the tow truck comes. Promise to never leave you and never forsake you. And you can wait on the tow truck if Jesus is sitting there and says, it's okay. It's okay. If you accept his presence is with you. I need patience. I'm going through it. and I'm still going through it. And the devil will tell you when you're going through it that your faith is somehow less than it ought to be. Listen, if you don't, you can't go through it on a mountaintop and call it tribulation. Tribulation in the New Testament, not the great tribulation, but through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. There's pressure against you coming to Christ. There's great battle for your soul waging. Through much tribulation you enter into the kingdom of God. And when you get into the kingdom, it don't stop. Peace in his kingdom, but there's trouble in the world. And the Bible said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Thelpsis is the Greek word, and it means pressure, anguish, trouble. I know what anguish is. I know what pressure is. I know what trouble is. Paul knew what trouble was. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble, tribulation that we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed. There's that word, pressure, beyond measure. You have a breaking point. You're human. Someone said temptation doesn't prove that you're wicked. It proves you're human. There's no place of super sanctification where you can't be tempted. Maybe you're not tempted by this or that, but you're tempted by something else. You're tempted to despair. You're tempted to be discouraged. You're tempted to be impatient. You're tempted to give up. I face that all the time. We all face it if we're honest before the Lord. I'm tired of praying for this family. I've been praying for my family, and the cops have been coming into our neighborhood because of family issues with my family. I've lived there for 21 years, and I've seen the popo come to a lot of houses. I ain't seen them come near as much as to my own family's house. I'm tired. But I know something. God is still on the throne. My prayers are in his presence. Not one of them has went somewhere else but his throne room. Praise God. What are these? Golden vials with transparent gold that you can see through, full of vapors, in the book of Revelation. Oh, son, don't you know what these are? These are the prayers of the saints. Where do you think prayer goes? What do you think? What happens after you pray? Does God discredit it, discount it? No, he preserves it in his presence. That means he's aware, he's concerned. Amen. And the only thing that we need now with that knowledge, armed with that knowledge, is patience. To stay committed in our faith. To stand. The word came, Brother Taylor, by the Spirit, to stand firm. That's why it said, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. If you don't give up on God, God is not going to allow the devil to defeat you. Hallelujah. He will not allow it. He will never, never, never suffer the righteous to be moved. That means permit or allow. He said, I won't allow it. When Terry falls flat on his face, I'm going to stand up and intercede. Put to rest some crazy doctrine out there that Jesus had to do something after the cross. Honey, Jesus sat down. Why did he sit down? Because he cried on the cross, it's finished. His redemptive work is done. Praise God, forever done. Glory, it's forever settled in heaven. Praise God. His blood sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Jesus said, I'm going to sit right here till my enemies be made my footstool. Everything necessary for victory over the world, the flesh and the devil, has been done at the cross. But when my children are under pressure, under the gun, I'm going to stand up because there's another work, hallelujah, to be done. And it's an ongoing work in their behalf. He's able to save them to the uttermost, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. So it's not just my prayer for you or the brethren's prayer for you. Christ is praying for you. Peter was going to come under the gun. He was going to face the pressure of temptation and testing. And Jesus told him, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. Everybody say, have you. It sounds singular, but in the Greek, it is in the plural. What does that mean? It means he wasn't just talking specifically to Peter. If you would read it from the Greek and the plural as it was written, it would read like this. Peter, Satan has desired to have all of you. When he said you, he meant all of you apostles, all of you Christians, all of you believers, Jew and Greek. Satan hates all of you, not just Peter. Satan has desired to have all of you that he may do what? Sift you as the wheat. Okay? But just stand on the word. No, recognize what happens when you come under that pressure, that intense pressure. Recognize what happens. But I have prayed for you. Prayer is not just something in the Bible. It's everything. Can you say amen? We are saved and kept because of the Son's intercession. Make no mistake about it. If he wasn't interceding, you would fall. Amen. Can I get an amen? You would. I don't care how much you know the word. I don't care how much you quote the word. You are a human being. You have limits and you would fall. If he didn't stand up, you would never be able to get up. But when you fall down, he stands up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! That's why Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not here because of my greatness, but because of his graciousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have prayed for you. And I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Oh, then my faith is, no, it's your faith in the fact that Jesus is the one that's keeping you. He's your high priest. He is your intercessor. Satan desired to have all of you to sift you as the wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and not if you're converted, because when Jesus prays, he knows the answer's coming. He said, and when you are converted, when you become another man, Peter, not this failing, foolish man, but this mighty, stalwart, stabilized man, when that happens, and it's going to happen, strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. Woo! When we fall down, he stands up. I see Jesus, what? He's seated at the right hand of power until one of his children are under the pressure and under the gun. I see Jesus standing. Can you say amen? I see Jesus standing. I see Jesus standing. I see Jesus standing. Praise God, you're not in this battle by, if nobody else was praying for you, Jesus said, I'm standing to intercede. Praise God. You don't have the necessary faith, but he's got the necessary qualification to show his scars and plead his own blood for you and me in the presence of the Father. So prayer doesn't begin with some faith principle in terms of just faith as a force. Prayer begins with a Father who loves you and cares for you that much. Before Jesus taught this basic principle, fundamental principle for not only prayer, but our total relationship spiritually with the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, he had to undo their way of praying. It's harder to undo a pattern than it is just to establish one when there's no other pattern established. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. In the preceding scripture, he said, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrite. Because they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. I have heard prayers like that. I've heard prayers over food that I wanted them to hurry up and quit so we could eat. Not because I was disrespectful. I love the Lord. But we're not, somebody praying for the nations of the world when you're supposed to be praying over the food. There's a time to pray for the nations of the world, but not just before we eat, because everybody wants to eat. They're not in agreement. I mean, don't pray an irreverent prayer like, Lord, praise the Lord and pass the biscuits. Don't do that. But for heaven's sakes, I have heard 15-minute prayers over food and everything's getting cold and nobody's listening anymore, and God is saying, come on now. Why would God want you to take the opportunity to pray over a meal and start interceding for the world? Well, the world needs interceding. Of course they do. But not when you've got a fellowship and you're praying over the food. You just want to hear yourself talk. You want people to think you're spiritual. Come on, get off that high horse. Amen. That don't cut no ice with God. Don't play like the hip. Pray like play or play, play, play and pray like the hypocrite. They think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. They love to make long prayers, the Bible said. Why? Because they want you to listen to their long prayers. And say, wow, that guy, boy, he knows how to pray. I love the way Elijah prayed. He prayed a very short paragraph. Fire fell out of heaven. I'm not talking about not spending time in prayer, because if you pray for all the prayer needs, you will have to spend some time in prayer. But don't think it's your much speaking. Jesus said it's not your much speaking. Don't pray like them, because they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. See, prayer is more a matter of the heart than it is the head. But he said, when you pray, in Matthew 6 and verse 9. Now, I don't have time to go much further with this. When you pray, after this manner, therefore, shall pray ye. Our Father. Just say our Father. Don't ever jump past that to get to the petition phases of your prayer that give us this day our daily bread. Not even the forgiveness doesn't begin first. First thing that happens for a Christian is to acknowledge, whether you need forgiveness from him or whether you need an answer from him, that he's your heavenly Father. It starts with intimacy with God. Everybody say, all prayer starts with intimacy with God. It doesn't start with just claiming the word, rebuking the devil. It starts with intimacy with God. Can you say, man? Say it with me. Intimacy with God. Our Father. You know, Paul talked about his apostleship, and one guy, you know, there's 80 denominations under the Protestant umbrella. 80 with the same Bible. What a mess. Can you say, man, what a mess? We're supposed to be one mind and with one accord. 80 denominations, what a mess we've made of religion. And the Bible is so clear. But everybody interprets things differently. When you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father. Immediately, there's an atmosphere, an understanding of the relationship that God wants with you and me. The Bible said in 1 John, for our fellowship, the Greek word is koinonia, is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So when you pray, recognize that you need to be in a fellowship relationship before you try to use your faith, claim the word, stand. You know people that are in no fellowship relationship, nor are they interested in a fellowship relationship with God. They don't love God, they don't love Jesus, but boy, they need Him to come through. They're not interested in walking with Him, but just talking to Him about their need. They treat Him like the genie in the lamp. If I find the right faith formula, I rub the lamp, the genie comes out, gives me my wish. Yeah. But intimacy with God, walking with God. My Bible says in the New Testament, for we know that God heareth not sinners. That was a given. There was no doubt about it. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, that doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. Your flesh and your spirit are going to come in conflict after conflict. You're going to win some, and sometimes you're going to have to repent. Thank you for the people that said amen. We'll pray for the rest of you before the service is over. Because you have failed before. Amen. Let's try that amen-er again. Amen. I could just see God up there saying, don't make me have to come down there. Take a piece of chalk, start writing on this carpet. Can you say, man? Amen. Just go ahead and own up, fess up. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. When you fall down, He stands up. That's why He told Peter. He knew Peter was going to fall down. But He said, when you do, I want you to know what's happening. I'm not forsaking you nor rejecting you. Amen. I'm praying for you. I'm interceding for you. Isn't that incredible? That's why Paul said, by the grace of, this is part of the grace of God, is Christ's intercession for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Praise God. Satan would sift us as the wheat if he wasn't making intercession. We're not strong enough, powerful enough, amen, to not need him standing up for us. If you got, I tell this story all the time because I hear people talking about developing your faith to this level and all of that. It just gets you a good, if you like wheat bread or light bread, or, you know, get you some good fresh bread, get you some lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, and mustard, because that's baloney. Amen. You just take all that bologna and make a sandwich out of it. It's bologna. Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He said, if it wasn't for grace, I wouldn't be standing here at all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But there is grace available. And grace is not just an acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not a theological understanding of unmerited favor. Grace means that the curtain has been rent. And not only can you come to God, amen, but God can come to you from behind that curtain and stand with you and uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. Grace means access to the presence of God, and it means the person of God and presence of God has access to you. Hallelujah. And that grace is sufficient. But if you want answers without intimacy, you can't even begin the first sentence of the way the Lord said you must pray to get an answer. Our Father. That's not just a knowledge. It's an experience. Can you say amen? I go to my Father and your Father my God and your God. Heretofore you've asked the Father. See, it always comes back. Nothing in my name. Ask who? The Father. In my name. How should we pray? Who do we pray to? Ask the Father in my name. Heretofore you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask this way that you might receive. For the Father himself loveth you. Woo. See, this is about love and intimacy that creates that faith and trust. But it's intimacy. Our Father means I'm in a relationship with God that is intimate and personal. Dad used to keep in his house before he had the fire, he used to keep root beer. I call it Pentecostal hooch. You can drink all the root beer you want. I saw Brother Bimble having a beer. Yes, root beer. And there's a particular brand, and he kept it, you know, in the refrigerator, because when I would come, he'd say, Bobby, go on in there and get you a root beer. I said, I believe I will. When I went to my Father's house, I didn't stand at the door like a stranger. I didn't even knock at the door, because I knew my daddy's going to be so glad to see me. I don't need to knock at my daddy's door. I got some relatives. It's different. But my dad, no. I had a standing invitation. Come on in. Sit right down. Bobby, let your mind roll on. Come on in. Sit down. Go in there and get your root beer. Got it cold for you. I would not dream of coming to the front door of my daddy's house and say, oh, illustrious Father, out of whose loins I came, perchance would you allow me to cross the threshold of thy home and to have a word with thee. Say, Bobby, are you crazy? This is your dad's house. Come on, it's not irreverent to say, Abba, Father. Jesus always talked to the Father in a beautiful way, but there was a personal, precise way he did it before the cross. He was going to need that intimacy more than he ever needed it, because he said after he prayed this prayer in the garden, he said, my Father's always with me. They're gone. This group is gone. The people I healed is gone. Only the two Marys stayed true to him. The rest of them are gone. Everybody I helped is gone. Everybody, they're afraid for their life. Stood in Pilate's hall. And he said, my Father is always with me. That's what grace is all about. He's always with me. My Father is always. Intimacy. And in the garden, in one of the accounts, and it's so beautiful, he said, Abba, Father. If there's any other way, let the cup pass from. Abba. Everybody say Abba. Abba in the Greek. It's two syllable. It is the first words formed by infants when they recognize their daddy. Abba in the Aramaic term. Abba. It's daddy. I used to have a picture of a man with a little boy on his knee, little sitting, it wasn't actually a picture, it was a little statuette, sitting on my knee. And the caption said, anybody can be a father, but it takes somebody special to be a daddy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It takes somebody special to be a daddy. So the New Testament teaches us that God is our Abba Father. It even said that when we say Abba, Father, the Holy Spirit bears witness that that is so true. Daddy, God. It's not in disorder. This was a true story back in the days of protocol and guards at king's chambers, and you could not go bursting in to the king's chamber without an invitation. You could lose your head. And a little boy about 9 years old come running down the hallway, and there's a big old guard there with a spear and axe and all combined, and he tries to stop this kid, and he runs right past the guard, and he bursts into the king's chamber, And the guard goes running after him because now he's afraid for his life because he didn't do his job. And this little kid was so small and so fast, he just zipped right by him, burst into the king's chamber. Amen. And the guard's sweating bullets now, got to catch him. And he's hollering as he's chasing him, "Majesty, Majesty, I'm sorry. He just got away from me." And the kid jumps up in the king's lap. And the king embraces him. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, "It's okay. This is my son. This is my son. This is my son." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You have a personal invitation to come into the king's chamber today. And if we don't get our prayer life associated with intimacy, and we're just trying to use the force of faith, God is like a big old vending machine. Press the right buttons and you get this answer. It has become so absolutely impersonal. You don't love the vending machine for giving you what you paid for. So we got a lot of people that don't love God, but they need Him to answer their prayers. And God wants you to love Him because you're going to serve somebody. Amen. You might be a doctor. You might be a garbage collector. You're going to serve somebody. And you're going to serve the person you love and devote your heart to. And your heart is up for grabs. If it's not already set on God, the devil is after it. The world is after it. Can you say, "Man, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world," here's that word again, "the love of the Father is not in him." Can you say, "Man, hallelujah." But if you love God supremely, the world can't pull you away. The world cannot sway you. Can you say, "Man, because you're in love." Hallelujah. And you're in fellowship, relationship with Him. Whereby we cry, but only Jesus, He's the only begotten until the cross. Now, that don't mean we're divine. He's the only divine one. But what is the glory of it that we have been brought into the royal family? And now, Paul says, now. Everybody say now. What does that now mean to you? Is it something future or something that's right here? It's right now. Now, for you that don't know my stories, I must tell you this. My wife is groaning already. Two men go to get ready for a job interview. They're filling out the papers. I'm trying to explain now to you theologically. They're filling out the papers for the job interview. And one of the questions was, "When can you begin work?" One guy looked over at the other and said, "How do you spell rat?" He said, "R-A-T. Why?" He said, "They ask, when can you go to work? I'm going to put down rat now." Now means now. Can you say amen? Rat now. This minute. Now. You are. Not you shall be, you're going to be. You are right now, here in this moment of time as a Christian. Now you are the sons of God. And that's why you pray. You begin by acknowledging your sonship and say, "Our Father." Woo! Hallelujah. Ain't no guard guarding the throne room. You walk right in. Woo! Brother Wimble, why are you squealing like that? Because it feels so good. I can't contain it. I'm not as good as you as holding it in. Oh, you are far more disciplined than me. You're stifling it. You're holding it in. I can't hold it in. I've got to shout it to somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh no, I'm not as disciplined as you are. You're good at not showing the joy of the Lord. You're good at stifling the gladness. You can handle this revelation without it affecting you. It affects me. It blesses me. It lifts me. I got a Father in heaven, Abba. When I fall down, Christ stands up. Hallelujah. And if He's making intercession, and other people are praying, and prayer is preserved in the presence of God, then the only thing I need is patience, persistence. Something's going to have to give if I don't give up. Here's the way it reads out. After you were afflicted, you suffered a great fight of afflictions. It's not over. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It goes on to say, but you have need, under the pressure of patience, that after you have done the will of God, men always to pray and not to faint, that you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, what? Your confidence, which what? Hath great recompense of reward. Listen to this next verse. For he that shall come, he's going to answer. He's going to do it in his timing. You got to wait for it. Amen. He that shall come will come. This has nothing to do with the rapture, nothing to do with the second coming. This has everything to do with answered prayer. When God manifests himself in the form of that answer, he will come. The devil says he won't come, but God said he will come. And this sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't, as we close. And he will not tarry. That means when he says it's time, he's going to come and do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You say he's tarrying. Yes, he is now, because it's not time. But when it's time, to everything there is a season and a time under heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of promises and those that wait long for it. You got to hang in. You got to hold on. Lord, help me to hold out until my change comes. Can you say amen? Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. It's almost, they didn't have to wait that long, but it was a tough order to an army with the ark going before it. This is God's battle plan for Jericho. March around it. You see these people on this great walled city that no enemy has ever been able to breach those walls. Archaeologists say they have found evidence of what they believe to be in the geographical area that would fit the bill. The foundations of Jericho. They didn't find no walls. But they found the foundations for the walls. And they said to put it in biblical language so people could understand the length of these walls, you could drive how thick they were. Not just the tallness, but the thickness. You could drive 6 chariots abreast. 6 chariots abreast. That's like a 6-lane highway almost, a little bit more narrow. That's the thickness. Not the height, but the thickness. And they're saying, you know, everybody try to take us. He says, march around it. You know, first thing he says, see, I've given you the city, given you the people, and given you the kings. See, I've given you. How can you see that when all you see is this big impregnable wall? You got to look through a different eye. You got to see it through the eye of faith. Because God said he'd give it to you. After that, you just quit looking any further. You got to sometimes you just got to close your eyes. I prayed for this big old wart. I prayed for my son one time. He came home from school shot. My son came home. I don't know what he had got, but he got something. He said, Daddy, Daddy, they're making fun of me at school. And he pulled it. He was wearing long sleeve shirts in the summer, and he pulled it up. He's about 9 years old, Matthew, and he pulls up, and he's got these little warty things. Oh, I mean, there's like a dozen on one arm and about 12, another dozen on the other arm. And they look like they're going to just go all over him. And I thought, well, we got to pray for that. And, you know, I went to pray for him. I said, I'm going to curse these little things in the name of Jesus. Curse whatever's giving them life and cause the cells to die. And I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you in the name of Jesus to die and get off of my son's body. And I just went on. I think I was helping my wife do dishes. I've been known to do that. Amen. It's called doghouse insurance. Can you say amen? Because my doghouse ain't nothing like Snoopy's. Ain't no pool table in there. Amen. It's not very comfortable. Anyway, I forgot about it. And sometimes I believe God wants us to pray and quit chewing it. Keep believing, but just don't dwell and dwell. I forgot about it. And it was about 8 or 10 days later, my son come running in the door from school. I'd forgot about the prayer, honestly. I had so many things on my mind, pastoring and doing missionary work and jail ministry. And he come running in. He said, Daddy, 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 look. Daddy, 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 look. He pulled up his sleeves. They were all gone. They were all gone. And he said, Daddy, I got up this morning. I went to put on my long sleeve shirt and I looked down. They were all gone. See, he had forgot about it. I forgot about it. God didn't forget about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. He that shall come will come. Now here's where we are. That happened in 8 to 10 days. It's easy to stand on the word for 8 to 10 days. But what if 8 months go by? You start getting weary. And that's when you need patience. And that's when he says, don't quit believing. Don't quit praying. Don't quit expecting. He that shall come will come. When he does, nothing's going to hold him back. They march around and around and around. And you can hear the insults. Sticks and stones may break our bones. Words will never hurt us. Where's your God? Where's your army? Where's your big bad battering ram? Hold your peace. Just keep marching. Keep on keeping on. Everybody say, keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. But on that last day, he said, I want you to march around it. I want the ark to go before you. And I want you to shout. For God has given you the city. Now, if God gives you the city, we'll all shout. He said, I want you to shout before anything happens. By the way, while they was marching around looking at that wall, they didn't see a crack forming. And the next day it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And they say, boy, let's just keep on marching. Go, that thing gonna fall yet. No, they didn't see no change, no change, no change, no change, no change, no change. But he that shall come will come. And so Joshua told him, he said, shout! A shout of victory. I looked up that word shout in the Hebrew. You know what it meant? Because it bothers some of you people. Some people won't come because they're sensitive ears. But they'll stick that iPod in there and turn it up to listen to their rock and roll. They just don't like to hear preaching that loud. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes. Don't look at me like that. Oh, yes, they do. It means to give an ear-piercing sound. Imagine what happened when all of those people shouted to God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God. How? With the voice of triumph. With reservation. No, with the voice of triumph. And the Bible said when they shouted by faith, the walls fell down flat. No breaking them, no breaching them, no cracking them. But when he came, they fell down flat. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to do it. My job is to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Praise God. For he that shall come will come and he will not tarry. And he's coming to you too. And he's going to deliver you too. And he's going to save your family too. And he's going to heal bodies that the devil says, healing ain't coming to you. I challenge you today to do not give up on God. Ow! Because God hasn't given up on you. Our Father, my Father. How many will begin to develop a closer relationship with God in prayer than just running in and standing on the word and showing him how much scripture you know? How many will pause and experience His presence. How many want to get closer to God, to where you can trust Him and roll your burden over on? I'm going to give it to you. You can't play it. Hallelujah. I was about to give you this, and he's going to stick it right in. We see a miracle, and out his ears is going to come this beautiful song. Amen. Everybody say, Abba, Father. Have you got anything out of this preaching, teaching today? Amen. Anything at all? Will you walk around the wall again with me? Can we walk together for your needs around this wall, this big, thick, impregnable, imposing-looking wall? Can we just walk around it another time and another time? Because he that shall come will come. Praying for your family. Sometimes it's hard to pray for some hard-headed, hard-hearted people. It's hard to pray for them because you know how hard-headed and how hard-hearted they are. They're just like that wall. It's just like that big old wall that defies you every time you walk around and says, you can't come in here. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God will not be defied because of the devil's hold on people. Praise God. When we pray, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Can you say amen? That is power in prayer. Sholabakosandana. It's not what we say that binds and looses. It's what we pray. Amen. Wait a minute. Hold on. I want you to get this. I'm not done. I thought I was. You've been taught to name it clear. It's not what you say. It's what you pray. Elijah prayed that God would shut the heavens. And God shut it. And Elijah prayed that it would be opened again. And God opened it. He didn't say it. He prayed it. Saying it means you're in control. Praying it means God is in control. Oh, that's good preaching. I can't wait to get this tape. I'm going to need it. In all honesty, I never listened to it, but I'm listening to it now. I'm hearing it in my spirit. Hallelujah. Elijah was a subject to like passions as we are. He's just like us. Look at somebody, say, like me and you. But he had such faith. He said, no, he prayed. Everybody say, he prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. That means he was dependent on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not on his faith, but on his father. That's where true faith resides. You can sing this song with me if you'd like. Prepare us for the closing prayer today. Let's worship him who loved us enough to not just save us, but to bring us into his royal family and allow us to say, Abba, Father. When the pressure is on. Follows us on Facebook, Twitter. I hope he hears this sermon because this is his song.
And we need your grace today. Yes, we do. Hear us as we pray. Our Father,
sing it.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. From heaven, forgive our sins, we pray. Hear our song,
Jesus,
as it rises to heaven, may your glory fill the earth,
Jesus.
As the waters cover the sea,
hallelujah.
See our hearts,
look deep, Lord,
and remove.
We remove it. All malice, bitterness, clamor, and anger. We humble ourselves, Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven.
Forgive our sins, Lord.
Knowing our fears, we're surrounded by many,
yes,
who have crossed that river before.
Jesus,
this is the song we'll be singing forever. Holy is the Lord.
Just praise Him in your pressure. He died for you. He ever lives to pray for you. Hallelujah.
The Lord,
my Savior. Holy.
Holy is the Lord. Hear our prayer. We are your children. And we've gathered here today,
Jesus.
We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry.
Hear our cry.
Oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today.
This very day, Lord.
Hear us as we pray.
Loving church.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray.
Sing it again, our Father.
Yes,
Abba.
Our Father,
hallelujah.
Hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray.
Hey.
Forgive our sins, we pray.
Forgive our sins. Cleanse us, Lord.
Forgive our sins, we pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet right now? We're going to have a go home song. You can go right out the door while it's playing. You leave reverently. There's no service tonight, so you can prepare for this blustery day that's coming late tonight and tomorrow. And if the squalls come in this evening, we don't want you to be on the highway for just wisdom's sake. Amen. But we're glad you came this morning. Thank you for coming. I know you have some preparation to make. Thank you so much. Did you get something out of this service today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe my wife can verify that I've had more down days recently than I have had in most of my preaching experience. I've had more troubles to deal with, more pressures brought to bear, more tribulation than I have had in all of the previous years combined. I've had worse times that were short-lived.
stand up. Keep your mind up. For I'm here to deliver thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Trust me, La Kanda, the Vituya Bahanda. Follow me, Ido, the Mosquita, the Bahanda. Ido, continue my word. Kanda, Ido, Ido, Sawanda. Stand upon the word. Stand upon Shahanda.
Yes.
Panda, the Bahula Bahanda. Anda, la la. You're not troubling out thyself, but look to me.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We can stand on this truth. Hallelujah. We can stand on it. When I woke up this morning, because I roll things on him, if I talk to you before I roll things on him, you'll hear it in me. You'll see it in me if you're close to me. But after I roll it onto him, everything changes. I can feel that lift. Praise God. And I know by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when I rose up this morning, I didn't have no doubt, praise God, that he's going to answer the prayer. And not just for me. I didn't have no doubt that he's going to answer in your behalf. Because I don't just, I pray for me and mine last. Because I want to make sure it's in, not because you're more important, but because you're just as important to God. Can you say amen? And there's something about bringing you before God, before my own needs or my own family, that pleases him, because I'm not asking just to consume it on me. I don't want victory just for me. I want it for you and your husbands and wives and children. Praise God, in your homes and your bodies. Praise God. So when I woke up this morning, come say it, come say it, come say it. That was a whisper, I know. Come.
I didn't have no doubt.
When I rose up this morning.
I didn't have no doubt.
When I rose up this morning.
I didn't have no doubt.
When I rose up this morning.
I had no doubt.
Boy, we need to turn this mic up for him. Amen. When I rose up this morning.
I didn't have no doubt.
Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. You can go home if you want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.